Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
Spring, we have been exploring the teaching of Jesus and what we call the Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And today we've arrived toward the end of chapter 7. It has been a teaching about how to live according to God's will, or as Jesus says, how to live within the kingdom of heaven. And what is it in particular about life in the kingdom of heaven that Jesus wants us to understand, as we will see today, not only to understand, but actually to practice, actually to live? In that kingdom, as we have seen, there are amazing blessings. Not blessings because we are doing what God has asked us to do, but blessings because by walking according to God's will, there are built-in blessings. God says, live this way because it's the best way to live. And Jesus is helping us to understand that in this particular sermon. Now, throughout the Gospels, one of Jesus' techniques is what we call the parables. A parable, or to use a synonymous word, a parallel, Jesus tells a story of some kind that has both a kind of common everyday element, and then also it has a spiritual element, the spiritual element being better explained and explored if we understand the common everyday element. So in our story that we're about to read here together from Jesus, the common everyday element is house building. He says in his story that there are two men who each built a house. And he's going to use this story and about the particular way in which these two men build their house to teach a very important spiritual truth about life in the kingdom. So again, we're in Matthew chapter 7, and I will be reading verses 24 through 27. Again, the words of Jesus. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rain and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So what does wise house building look like, according to Jesus? Wise house building looks forward to the inevitable storm waters and winds and rain that will come and threaten the integrity of the house. While I am building my house, the weather may be nice, there may be no threat of rising waters. There will be perhaps nothing to threaten this house at all. But the wise builder, Jesus says, is someone who looks ahead and who builds with that certain contingency in mind, knowing while it is not happening now, it is sure to happen in the future. And if I'm to get ready for that, if my house is to stand, I better build wisely now. And he says, of course, there are some who will build foolishly. They will build foolishly, not considering what may happen in the future. They simply build as easily and as quickly as they can. They build their house just kind of right on top of the sand. They don't worry about a foundation of any kind other than just whatever surface they can have, whatever is easiest, and they just go in and start putting up their walls. And quickly, they have a house. Meanwhile, if you can kind of picture it, Jesus didn't say this, but you know, if you're kind of picturing this in a practical way, you know, on the lot next to his, someone else is building. And while this person is like already halfway done with their house and picking out their curtains, this other person is still digging, shoveling sand. What are you doing? We started about the same time and I'm like halfway done and you're still digging. Well, I'm getting down to bedrock. Well, that's a ton of work. It's going to take you forever to build a house if you're first going to get down to bedrock. Isn't it much better to do like I'm doing? This is much easier. It's much quicker. You will have a house to live in, and yours won't look any different than mine, really. The difference, Jesus is saying, between a wisdom that looks ahead and a foolishness that only looks to what is easiest today. And of course, what he is saying, if that is true in house building, he is saying it is also true in spiritual life building. Because what I have been teaching you in this sermon, and indeed what Jesus teaches in all of his life and ministry, and we can expand that to what God teaches throughout his word, Jesus is saying, it's not just to be heard. It's not just to be listened to. It's not even just to be remembered, but it is to be done. It is to be carried out. We are to take in what we are told, but then we're to live it. Now, there are many different reasons why it should be lived, but Jesus gives one here, and that is, if you live what I am telling you, you're going to be building a strong foundation for your spiritual life. For there will come a day when your spiritual life will be threatened. It may not be today. Today, things might be pretty good in your life. You listen to what I have to say, love your neighbor, and you go, oh, nice words, Jesus, I like that. Yes, we should love our neighbor. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Oh, Jesus, yes, that's in the Sermon on the Mount. We've called that the golden rule. I think that that's good, Jesus, I like that. And so on and so forth. We hear it, Jesus is saying, but then we leave, maybe thinking good thoughts about it, but we do nothing about it. And the problem, he says, with that, in your Christian life, and here comparing the Christian life with a house, is if your Christian life is built only on what you have heard, but then done nothing about it, there is no strength to your life. Or if you will, your faith, which needs to be strengthened, faith was just not just automatically all it can be. Often we are weak in our faith, Jesus is saying, because we're not putting into practice what he's asked of us. And foolishly we think, you know, when the storms come, I'll be okay. When the storms come, I'll kind of figure out how to live Jesus' way and try to do it. But for now, it's not really necessary. Now, it would take a lot of work to do everything. I mean, I'm already spending, you know, an hour in church, and I read my Bible every now and then, and I hear all these things God says, and I think that should be enough. It would be a lot of work, hard work sometimes, unpopular work, a struggle to really do what Jesus is telling me to do in his teaching. But I don't really need that, do I? And Jesus saying, oh, yes, you do. Maybe not today, but there will come a day when you will. When you're strong, when your faith needs to be strong. And what will strengthen your faith will be to do what I ask you. Not simply to listen and then walk away. There's a story told in the Gospel of Mark of Jesus with his disciples. They're on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee, and we're told that the disciples and Jesus all get a boat to go over to the other side of the sea. Now it's a nice day. The disciples are probably thinking, hey, hanging out with Jesus on a boat, taking, you know, a ride on the lake. When we get to the other side, Jesus will probably start teaching because all these people will come as they always do when Jesus shows up. And maybe he'll even do a couple of miracles. That would be really cool. You know, this is going to be a nice day, a fun day, a good day to be a disciple of Jesus. Looking forward to what he has to say to us and what he's going to do. But then we're told, as so often happens on the Sea of Galilee, a storm suddenly comes up. And this particular storm is very violent and very dangerous. And in hardly any time at all, the boat is threatened. Now the disciples are frantically doing all they can to save themselves. We're not given details, but we can imagine that they're trying to bail the water out of the boat, that they're, you know, they lowered their sails, they're trying to strengthen things, tie things down, but things are going from bad to worse. And it is becoming very, very frightening for them. And finally, they're kind of at their wits' end, they don't know what else to do, they're in imminent danger of the boat going down, and we're told that then they go to wake up Jesus, who is sleeping, kind of in one end of the boat. And they're shouting at Jesus and saying, Jesus, don't you care that we're about to drown? Now, if we stop the story right there and ask ourselves the question, who in the boat has built a strong faith foundation for their life? Who in the boat has built a strong faith foundation for their life? Jesus stands up, we're told, after he's awakened by the disciples, and he looks at the storm, and he speaks, and he tells the storm to be still. And it is, because this is Jesus, the Son of God, the Creator of the universe. As one of our songs say, even the wind and the waves obey him. And it is still. In an instant, the storm is at an end. The disciples are safe again in their own mind. And then Jesus turns to them and he says, why were you afraid? Where is your faith? They've spent a lot of time with Jesus. They've heard many things he said, including about not being afraid, being assured that their Heavenly Father cares for them, is watching out for them. But at this point, it seems like their faith is very, very weak, because while hearing good things, they've not been putting it into practice in terms of an assurance of God and God's care for them. There may be many other things that we don't know, we're not told, but if Jesus says, where is your faith, we can take it from him that faith is lacking. And it's hard. It's hard to build our faith. It's hard to be faithful to what God tells us to do. But if we have not been faithful when things are more normal around us and not pressing upon us so much, it's not going to happen when the storms come. As Jesus says in his parable that we read from Matthew 7, our house will fall. Our faith will not be able to stand the test. And if you will, this was a test of the disciples' faith, and they failed the test. Now, it is wonderful in the life of the disciples that their discipleship did not end with this boat ride. They didn't make it across the other side, which they did, and we're told in Mark what their ministry, and they did do ministry. But Jesus doesn't just say, that's it, you failed, go home. I'll find someone else, or I'll just do it on my own. No, they continued with Jesus, and their faith did grow, and they did learn the things that they needed, so when the storms would come, and they certainly did come, they stood strong. These were the same men who failed in the boat who will later stand up in Acts chapter 2 in the city of Jerusalem and preach the gospel. After Jesus has died, been raised, and ascended back into heaven. And we're told that more than 3,000 people came to faith just on that particular day. Those disciples went out and they took the gospel into the world, at least that part of the world around the Mediterranean. And the gospel was told, and the church grew as people heard the gospel and were saved and joined the fellowship of believers. Those disciples in the boat on the lake that day were very different from the disciples that we learned later go out and change the world in the name of Jesus. You and I today, if you will, are in a boat. And the question is, when the waves come, when the storms come, how will we respond? And if we respond poorly, if we respond faithlessly, if we respond with all kinds of fear, not looking to God, not trusting in God, because we have not built our faith on the solid foundation of doing what Jesus calls us to do in those areas of our life, we may very well fail the test. We may, if you will, almost be hearing Jesus saying to us, "Where is your faith?" But the wonderful thing is, that's not the end of our story. God is faithful, and if we're willing to hang in there with Him, even after failing in the face of storms, He will hang in there with us. And there is opportunity for growth, and there is opportunity for change, and there's opportunity for having a stronger faith. One of the interesting things about tests of our faith in our lives is often we don't have a good idea what our faith is until it's tested. Until it comes under pressure. And it may be that we thought we had a strong faith and we realize, no, it's pretty wimpy. Or we may feel like we have hardly any faith at all and something comes along that's just earth-shattering and in terms of our relationship with God, God just kind of walks us right through it. And we realize, you know, I'm really doing okay. It may not be until the test comes that we really know what our faith is like. But whether it is strong in the storm or whether it turns out to be weak, again, it's not the end of the story. God will continue to work with us. But Jesus' words to us today is that work is to do what He has called us to do and to be the kind of people He has called us to be, not just to listen and to be aware of what the words are. Last Sunday was Mother's Day, and 28 years ago on Mother's Day was the last time that I spoke to my mother before she died 2 days later. I have shared with you this story before. I was living in Austin, Texas at the time, and she was living in Littleton, Colorado, where I grew up. And I had called her to wish her happy Mother's Day. And she, as she normally did whenever we talked on the phone, asked about her 3 grandsons. They were more of interest to her, I think, than her son. But she loved those grandkids. And, of course, we had taken them 1,000 miles away from her. And so we talked about her grandkids. We talked about life and everything else, like you might do in a Mother's Day call between a mother and a son. And I said, "I love you, Mom." And she said, "I love you, Steve." And I hung up. 2 days later, she went in for routine knee surgery, developed a blood clot, which traveled to her lungs, and that took her life. Totally unexpected. No warning whatsoever. And after those few first days of just mourning and grieving and dealing with just all the practical reality of an event like that, as I became more kind of introspective and thoughtful, I realized that I was kind of expecting from within myself something should be happening in terms of being upset with God. This wasn't right. This wasn't fair. God should have stopped this. My mom was too young to die. There is great sorrow for my dad, for me, for my siblings, for the grandchildren. God could have done something, but He didn't. He allowed this to happen. I kind of was almost waiting for that to begin. I thought maybe at first I was just kind of too numb and just didn't really feel much of anything. But I thought I should certainly be feeling kind of upset with God. I don't know why I expected that, but that's just kind of what I thought was going to happen. And I was remember being really surprised when I realized after several days and even weeks for that to begin, for that feeling, for that sense within me, that it never happened. I came to realize that my faith in God was deeper, was stronger than the reality and all the emotions that attached to it of my mother's death. Or to say it differently, that my mother's death did not defeat or overcome or even really seriously question my faith. Like if there was someone in my life or a little voice in my head that says, how can you believe in a God who would be cruel enough to take your mother in this way? You know, something like that. I that didn't bother me at all. And it surprised me. But again, as I thought more about this, now from the perspective of why is my faith able to just kind of move with this and to continue without being damaged by this reality? I came to recognize that one of the people in my life that was really at the core of this being such a reality for me was my mom, who had just died. Because living in her home and growing up with her, I not only saw her faith, which she professed, but I saw how she lived her faith, how she did what she professed. Like she would tell us, you know, Steve, God is good. And I would look at her life and what she said and how we lived as a family. And if things were good and we were happy and we had enough to eat and things were all right and so on, then yes, God is good. And mom said God is good and I say God is good. But then something bad would happen to the family. There was some struggle in my life or there would be something that was really uncomfortable. And I'd want to say to my mom, you know, God is being bad now. And mom said, no, God is still good. I want you, Steve, to learn that God is still good when things in your life are bad. And I watched her, and those were more than just words. That's how she lived. That's how she cared for her family. She showed us that. And she taught us many things about God. And one of the conversations I especially remember, or the kind of conversation, in lieu of what my mother's death, was she would talk to us about heaven. And she'd say, you know, Steve, heaven is real, and heaven is a place where the least desirable thing that happens there is better than the most desirable thing that happens here. I don't know if she used exactly those words, but that was the idea I had as a young child. Think of the very best thing that you have in your life, Steve. And it will be, everything will be even better in heaven. And she not only said that, but as I watched her live her life, it seemed like she really believed it. And as a child, I wanted to please my mom. And so I said, yes, I believe that too, although I didn't understand most of what we talked about, other than the times that I just kind of, things were uncomfortable in our house, but usually my parents would kind of, as parents do, kind of shield us, and we probably didn't know how bad things really were. But I would watch how she lived her life and say, I want to live my life that way, as a kid, because you want to please your mom. But then as you grow a little bit, as you become a teenager, a young adult, you start to realize that, well, now this is for me. I'm not just believing this or thinking this or approaching life in this way just because my mom is. It's because I really have it in my heart. Something has been built in me, and God has used my mother in my life to build something that I came to recognize was there, and I was grateful for it. And other people, I've talked about my father before, and he was very instrumental in building the foundation of faith. I believe from the very beginning the Holy Spirit was in my life, although I didn't understand or recognize the Holy Spirit. Certainly was nowhere as real to me as my mom and dad were, but he, I believe, because Scripture tells me so, that he was there building faith. And I was learning how not just to hear the words, which being in a missionary family we heard a lot, but to what it looked like and what it meant to do it. First to watch how my parents did it, and then learning how for me to do it. And now here I am, some 35 years later, and my mom has died. And I realized that so much of what she instilled in me was for that kind of a day. For a day where I thought, shouldn't I be thinking it's terrible what has happened, that God is in the middle of this? But no, I remember what my mom said about heaven, what I'd come to believe, and what I was reminding myself. Where is mom right now? She's in a much better place. What did mom's faith bring her to? It brought her to this reality of being in heaven with her Lord and Savior for all eternity. It wasn't just a switch from mom's death was a bad thing to somehow mom's death was a good thing. There was still sorrow. I still watched my dad and the loneliness he experienced, how hard that was for him. Remember him saying to me about 6 months after Mama died, I was visiting him and spending about a week with him as he was living there alone in their home. And he said, Steve, loneliness is everything it's cracked up to be. Faith doesn't mean that things just all of a sudden work out and they're just easy, that God takes away the difficult things. But a strong faith stands in the midst of the storms. My mom taught me that. Among many others, God used her in my life. And when that event happened, her death, which seriously could have threatened that faith and certainly could have diminished that faith if it were weak, I could have failed at that point. I could have said, that's it. I'm turning from God if God allows this kind of a thing. That did not happen. Not because I was super spiritual in that moment, but because there was a strong foundation in my life. And I'm so grateful. And that, of course, is not the only time. There are many times in my life that I have faced different storms and I have recognized, not that I've always done as well, not that I've always responded in just the right way, but never have I ever, in the midst of a storm, said, I don't believe in God anymore. I have now lost my faith. And I believe it is because I learned at an early age and later practiced myself doing what Jesus asks of us. If I tell you about heaven, I want you to believe it and apply it to yourself and to all your relationships, which would certainly be something that applied in the situation of the death of my mother. So all of us have an opportunity to build our faith on the teaching of Jesus by doing it. All of us will be tested at times. At times we will be like the disciples in the boat. We may fail miserably. The test will show that our faith was pretty weak. It didn't do very well. Other times the testing may show that our faith was strong and robust. But whatever that testing shows, God is there with us. And He promises to grow our faith. Like the disciples, we can be stronger. Those disciples faced a lot of really hard tests. According to historians, all of them except for John actually gave their life. They were martyred for their faith. Even in the face of the threat of their life, they did not recant their faith. They did not say, no, I no longer believe Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And they died speaking and living those words. That was not the day they were in the boat, but that was the day that the challenge was withstood because of their faith. And you and I have the opportunity to grow our faith with God's help if we not only hear the words, but obey them and live them as well. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this story, this parable from Jesus, this very vivid illustration of what it looks like to live wisely, that is, not only to hear Your words, but to put them into practice. Because it strengthens us and it prepares us for the day of testing, that on the day our faith may not fail, but rather it will be strong and ready. Over against that, as Jesus says, is the foolish person. The foolish person who builds their Christian life thinking it's good enough just to hear the words of Jesus and nod and agree, but not really have to do much of anything about it. On the day of testing, on the day of struggle, on the day of the storm, that faith will not stand. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that we know that You do not abandon us. Simply because our faith fails at times does not mean that we're no longer worthy to You. and that we're no longer people who can be brought back into a stronger place in our relationship with you. So, Lord, may we, wherever we find ourselves, turn to you. Thank you for strong faith and ask for you to for a stronger faith when we see that our faith is weak. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.